Alberto Dominguez was the first Australian to die on 9/11. Better known by his nickname, El Pocho, he perished on board American Airlines Flight 11, the first plane to plunge into the World Trade Center. He was a pioneer, one of the first broadcasters to breathe life into SBS Radio, where he worked for 13 years. But despite being a beloved and prominent figure in the Spanish-speaking community, when news of his passing hit mainstream Australian media, he was only remembered as a 66-year-old migrant and a Qantas baggage handler. Death is a fact of life, but how we'll die and how we will be remembered is uncertain. Pocho's friends, colleagues, and listeners say he lived an exceptional life. He also died in extraordinary, albeit tragic, circumstances. Hard and fast facts about Pocho's day job eclipse the reporting of his legacy. But a closer look reveals a greater story, one that is deeply intertwined with the history of migration and multiculturalism in Australia and the inception of SBS Radio, or 2EA, as it was first called. 15 years on from his death, it's time to set the record straight. Most days, we live life disregarding that today could be our last. Migrants live with the acute and heartbreaking certainty that every family visit may very well be the last embrace. Pocho went to the United States with his wife Marta to help her ailing sister, who was undergoing brain surgery to have a tumor removed. After a couple of weeks, Pocho had to return to work, but Marta decided to stay longer. Pocho had planned to return home to Lidcombe on September the 10th, but decided to delay his departure and stay an extra night. That put him on Flight 11 out of Boston the following morning, the first flight that would be hijacked, then flown into the tower.
Somebody's
stabbed in business class, and I think there's mates that we can't breathe. I don't know. I think we're getting hijacked.
We have a plane
that's
taking off. Welcome
to
American Airlines emergency line. Please state your emergency.
Hey, this is Nitty at American Airlines calling. I am monitoring a call in which Flight 11, the flight attendant is advising our reps that the pilot, everyone's been stabbed.
Everyone remembers the 9/11 attacks vividly, but the SBS Spanish radio broadcasters who were on shift that day experienced a particularly uncanny occurrence. Ruben Fernandez, former SBS Spanish executive producer, says he had known about the attacks before coming into the office that morning, but he didn't know that Pocho was on one of the flights.
When I got to SBS early that morning, my colleague Nepo showed me something weird was up with his computer. He had not logged in yet, but his screen had gone to blue and froze inexplicably. There was only one line of text saying, "Former Uruguayan cyclist champion dead in 9/11 attacks." It looked like a breaking news wire or update, but Nepo's computer was not running iNews, the program we used for that purpose. We called the family and they confirmed the news. That afternoon we informed the Spanish-speaking community about Pocho's death on the program. It was heart-wrenching. Everyone was shocked to the core.
Soraya Caicedo, SBS Spanish Radio's executive producer, was there. She also saw the blue screen.
It was the strangest thing. We called the IT department, but they couldn't explain what had happened. To this day, we believe that was Pocho's way of telling us he had died. He gave us the scoop.
Born in Uruguay, Pocho described himself as a Spanish-speaking Australian. That wasn't far from the truth. He was generous and dedicated much of his time to altruistic causes. His friends portray him as a charismatic character, a man of sports, a natural leader, and a good mate. As a broadcaster, Pocho was one of those exceptional voices that connected deeply with his audience. As migrant families searched for their sense of place in a foreign land, Pocho's voice was a soothing balm. He entered people's homes and struck a chord in their hearts as they huddled together around the living room radio just to listen to him, like it had been in the golden days.
Ahí está.
Adela Medina de López, la saludan sus hijos, Ana y Alberto, deseándole un feliz Día de la Madre aquí en Australia.
Darwin Rodríguez, journalist and sports editor for Australia's oldest Spanish-language newspaper, El Español, remembers Pocho had a special ability to transport listeners to their old haunts, their childhood neighborhoods, to the sights and scenes they desperately yearned.
Pocho, con su programa, creo que no dejaba a nadie de escucharlo.
Everyone listened to Pocho's program, especially back then, when our South American migration had just begun. Most of us had just moved to Australia, and to be able to listen to a show about tango, about music, and to hear the voice of a Spanish-speaking broadcaster was very important, because most people had no family here. Pocho came into all our homes through 2EA.
But Pocho was already well known to many. Back in Uruguay, he had been a sports hero. In 1953, he was the national cycling champion. He pedaled for his homeland in 2 Pan American Games and won medals at various international tournaments. Darwin Rodríguez recalls that Pocho had 3 main passions in life: his family, cycling, and tango.
La familia está primero y por mucho margen.
His family was his most important passion by far, but he was a very good cyclist and he loved it. He represented Uruguay at many international competitions in Argentina, Brazil, and the United States. He won a silver medal in Chicago in 1959.
In the early 70s, life in Montevideo, the Uruguayan capital, had become increasingly difficult, even for a famous athlete who also slogged as an electrician. Democracy had been flattened by the first winds of political turmoil, and the threat of the ferocious dictatorship to come was strangling the economy and human rights. Ruben Fernandez, a fellow Uruguayan migrant, describes Montevideo in the 70s akin to a Soviet republic.
It was gray. A growingly authoritarian government and the armed forces controlled everything. The streets were empty at night. The military were a constant threat, patrolling the streets at all times.
In 1974, Pocho fit his life in a suitcase and moved to Sydney with his wife Marta and their 4 children. Australia was the new promised land for many South Americans, mostly Argentinians, Chileans, and Uruguayans seeking refuge. But safety and hope also meant sacrifice. Back then, moving to a country as distant and foreign as Australia meant near-total disconnection from your place of origin. There was no such thing as multicultural Australia. Migrants stripped off their identities in best efforts to fit in. This was emotionally taxing. Darwin Rodríguez remembers.
We came to Australia and it was total isolation. We had little to no connection to our homes.
Spanish-speaking broadcaster Néstor Alzamendi, who worked with Pocho in community radio up until his last broadcast before his death, says that even telephoning home was a privilege. International calls to South America could cost anything between $10 and $20 per minute, and the average income for migrants was about $50 a week.
Nosotros para hablar por teléfono en aquellos años teníamos que ir a la City.
To call home, we had to go to the city, to the post office, where it used to be in Martin Place. There were many booths. You gave them the number and then you waited for hours to get connected to your family.
This is Al Grasby on behalf of the Australian Community Relations Office, welcoming you all to Radio 2EA, the voice of ethnic Australia. Today, The program is in Spanish.
Les habla Al Grespi.
On June 9, 1975, former immigration minister Al Grespi launched Radio Ethnic Australia with the aim of explaining the new Medibank scheme to migrant communities in different languages. Broadcasting began in Greek, Spanish, and four other languages on 2EA in Sydney, and in eight languages on Melbourne's 3EA.
Medibank, el seguro para usted y su familia, pagará por lo menos el 85% de toda factura por honorarios médicos basado en la escala oficial por cada tipo de consulta o tratamiento.
Radio Ethnic Australia was a much-needed lifeline. The broadcasts had a profound effect on migrant communities, so the service stuck. What started as a three-month experiment grew into the special broadcasting service we know today.
On radio, online and mobile, you're with SBS Radio. Now it's news and current affairs with SBS Spanish.
Estás escuchando Radio SBS en idioma español.
Last year, SBS Radio celebrated its 40th anniversary and now broadcasts in 74 languages. Spanish language broadcaster and music events organizer Mario Soca says conditions were initially precarious.
Radio was the only media we had. There was nothing else, absolutely nothing. People from different countries, including Pocho, got together to try to convince the government to create Ethnic Radio 2EA, and they succeeded. But they had to work as volunteers from some time, and it was a struggle. For us, it was incredible. We would come back to our houses after work, feeling homesick because we had left our homelands, hoping to build a new, better life for ourselves in this country. But there was nothing for us. Our first victory was coming home and listening to them on the radio. For us, it was like winning the lotto.
The Spanish language team broadcast three programs a week. Pocho's brainchild, Folklore, Tango y Rosas, Folklore, Tango and Roses, a radio show about music, culture and nostalgia, was like no other.
This is 2EA, the voice of ethnic Australia. We now bring you the Spanish program Folk Music, Tangos and Roses with Alberto Dominguez.
La cabeza alta, la mirada perdida a través de las lágrimas que...
José da Silva, from the charity group United Uruguayans in Australia, used to record all of Pocho's programs. He did this so he could listen to the Spanish broadcast daily, even on days when they weren't on air.
He transported us to our roots with his music, his comments, his persona, the way he spoke. People trusted him, and everyone who heard him became a new SBS listener.
Néstor Alzamendi believes Pocho was the right person to help heal the wounds of migration.
We had left our homelands behind. He kept us connected to our neighborhoods, to our countries. He wasn't a broadcaster or an entertainer in the strict sense of the word, like a quiz show host. No, he got through to people. He spoke like family.
Oddly enough, Pocho's usual sign-off was premonitory.
It's time for us to say goodbye. It may be goodbye forever. This program has come to an end. Good night, all the best to all of you. We'll meet again someday. This is Forever Pocho Dominguez.
Pocho Dominguez, por siempre.
But despite being a likable character, Pocho could prove difficult to work with. Some felt he was blunt, too casual, and disorganized. Ruben Fernandez remembers Pocho instigated many incidents and near misses, but this was also part of his genius.
When Argentina won the World Cup in 1986, Pocho and I were broadcasting the final match live on SBS Radio. Then, without warning, Pocho invited people to come to the studio on Clarence Street to celebrate. People came in large groups, waving flags. Security guards and radio operators were going nuts. And the crowd grew. The police also came. The crowd was getting out of control, stopping traffic. It was wonderful, and we can laugh about it now, but it was a scramble. We could have organized all that and avoided the mess, but Pocho was unpredictable. He had these sudden bright ideas that got people into trouble. He had a gift and a vision of doing radio with the people.
Pocho worked for SBS Radio from 1975 to 1988. In 1979, he contributed to a regular column to the Spanish language newspaper, El Expreso. From the late 80s and until his death, he hosted many other shows on various public and community radio stations across Sydney. He also gave generously to the Spanish-speaking community in Australia. Pocho was a founding member of a number of associations and charities that continue to thrive today. The Uruguayan Club, the Association of Spanish-Speaking Grandparents, and the Latin American Relief Foundation, established following Hurricane Mitch in 1998. He was also instrumental in the creation of United Uruguayans, a grassroots charitable organization that collects funds to send to hospitals in Uruguay. Since 2001, many tributes have been organized to honor Pocho's memory. His son, Álvaro, spoke at the inauguration of Tango Day in New South Wales, which coincides with his father's birthday.
Dad left us, and we feel like we are still waiting for him.
Mario Soca feels that Pocho's death on 9/11 is ironically fitting for a man of his stature.
No creo ni quiero causar una confusión.
I don't mean any disrespect, but something good came from that awful tragedy. His name is now on that small plaque where those towers used to stand. It's there forever, in perpetuity.
Pocho's daughter Virginia told SBS.
We appreciate that people, especially the community, would like to remember him. He was a pioneer, and he made us proud.
For most of us, every stage of our lives weaves a new layer of self into our personal history, redefining the answers to essential questions of who we are, where we've come from, and where we're headed. But for migrants, the struggle for identity and belonging is threefold. Our sense of self is fragmented. We are who we were back home, who we are now, as perceived in the wider collective of our newly adopted country. And we are also who we epitomize in our community. Alberto Dominguez El Pocho, the Spanish-speaking Australian, taught his audience that displacement and belonging are not irreconcilable.